praise. He deserves our everything. Amen. There's no one like Him. There's no one beside Him. He's our healer, our redeemer, our way maker. He's our Savior, and I sure hope He's your best friend. Amen. I bring you greetings from Praise Tabernacle Church and our pastor there in Antigua. Me and my wife do have the honor and privilege of representing that nation. Amen. God is doing awesome things in Antigua and around the world. Amen. I thank God for the awesome things He's doing here at Rehoboth. Amen. Anyone excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. I hope you preach with me tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about Antigua. I'm going to talk about outreach. Because, you know, we don't have a lot of time left, truthfully. And I love your theme for this month, faith. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen. But we need to have not just faith for salvation. We need to have faith for our family, for that job, for those co-workers. Amen. Faith for our city and faith for this world. Amen. Amen. If you have that presentation, we wanted to show you some pictures. That way you get to see a little bit more about what I'm talking about. Get to see a little bit of where we're from. Amen. Amen. As you're getting that going, some of the pictures you're going to see is, and if you can just kill the music, thank you. Amen. What you're going to see is Antigua is 108 square miles with 87,000 souls that need Jesus. So it's basically smaller than general Milwaukee and all people here, but we need Jesus, amen. So this is as we fly into the island. So when you would come to visit, these are the souls in the houses and the people that you see that when you're praying for us, that we're going out to reach. Right there in the middle, that's our state college. Just keep that in the back of your mind, amen, because at the end when we talk about our youth camp, I'll share some stories about what God's doing at our state college. Amen. Some more of the houses as we fly in. Amen. Hallelujah. The next picture you're going to see is Hurricane Gonzalo. It was supposed to be a tropical storm. This hit us last year in November. It was a late hurricane. So sometimes November, October is a dangerous time to come, Pastor. Amen. But it was supposed to be a tropical storm. This is a church property. We ended up having Category 3 damage. Thankfully, no damage was done to the church building, but our sign in the front was damaged. And our windshield on one of our Jeeps was also damaged. But thankfully, in Antigua, unlike North America, you can drive with a punctured windshield. But thankfully, God provided the way we were just able to get it fixed. There is a tree that did fall over on the vehicles, but the building, thankfully, had no damage whatsoever. And here's the thing, no matter what storm you ever go through in life, no matter what trial, God always has a promise for you. Amen? And we need to remember that promise. Amen. Me and my wife are expecting a little baby boy, so we're excited about that. Amen. So what you're going to see is we had to put a little addition onto the church there because the Lord knows we wanted him and needed him, but we didn't have a lot of room for him to stay. So that's us, our young men there, putting that addition on. And if you'd pray that we could raise the funds to complete that, that's the outside. And we are trying to raise that. So if you'd pray that God would open up the door. Amen. Right here is a 10-year prayer request. So see, sometimes we say we're praying and it just seems like God's not answering. He's always answering. Pause it for me if you will. But God always has the right time and the right season. Right there is fine. Now, what this is actually water lines getting put into our village. Now, we don't actually have any running water in our village in Antigua. And I know that may sound different to North America, but we've waited 10 years for these water lines to be put in. And the church actually has cisterns, so we get rainwater, and we don't have a water problem at the church. The country does, but thankfully we don't at the church. But here's why it's so significant. The church is just a gravel mud road to get down to it. But the government refuses to put in roads until the water lines are in. Because how everything works in Antigua, no one really works together too well. So as soon as they get a nice new road in, the water department comes and rips up the road. And so now the road department refuses to put in roads. So thankfully, we've been praying for this. Now they put in the water pipes. They're still not hooked up, but they are in the ground. So we're a step closer to actually getting a road to the church, which we're very excited about. And you can hit play. The neat thing is they put a fire hydrant right next to the church. Now, there's probably 5 of these in all the years I've been here that I've ever seen in Antigua. But I find it neat. I just believe they're believing in faith that we're going to have a Holy Ghost and fire movement at the church. Amen. Now, last year we talked about our Bible school. While we were away, we had our graduation. We had, pause it for me if you will. Amen. We had five young men that had perfect attendance for all six of our semesters. I'll just go through it, because if you ever get our monthly updates that we send out, a lot of times when you're hearing those stories, either the faces behind that, the young men that help us do what we do there in Antigua. You have your Aldo Brown over here on the left. He's our drummer and bus driver. You have Eugene. He's Eugene Brown, their brothers. He plays our keyboard and helps as well. He does all our music. And then you have Nick Simon. He's a bus driver and drummer. And I don't know why, but it kind of goes hand in hand that all our bus drivers play drums. So it's just something that God does, I guess, in Antigua. I just tell people it's because, see, we have so many potholes. It's just good practice for keeping time, you know, as you're hitting potholes going down the road. So you naturally become a good drummer. Amen. Dwayne Simon, he's one of our young men, also very zealous for God. He's our chemistry and science professor at our state college, and then Shamari Anthony. So when you see these young men or read our stories, these are the young men that are helping us take the island by storm. They're the ones that are out there every week faithfully teaching the Bible studies and outreach, and we talk about that in a minute. Amen. So if you just hit play for me, thank you. So now you got a few more faces and names to go along with what we do in Antigua. Amen. In the last... we're coming up on our four-year anniversary. Pause it for me, if you will. But in the last 4 years, with about an average of eight people, our young people have managed to teach 20,000 Bible studies on the streets of Antigua. Amen. And we can believe you can do the same thing here. Amen. If we'll just be apostolic and take the word of God, amen, to the streets. Give you a few stories about outreach. Brother Eugene and myself met Dawn on her front porch, and we were just one Saturday afternoon, we met her, we began to talk to her, share our outreach Bible study, and all of a sudden she says, "I see it. I wasn't baptized the right way." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, the Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and we know that's Jesus' name." Amen. So she said, "I see it. I need to get baptized." I said, "You do." And I said, "The Bible says today is a day of salvation. No man's promised tomorrow." I said, "But before we go back to the church and baptize you," I said, "is there anyone else here that wants to get baptized?" And Dawn and her husband had already had the Holy Ghost, but none of their family was ever baptized in Jesus' name. So Kadim, her oldest son, came out. We began to talk about baptism. He said, "Hey, I need to get baptized too." I said, "Okay, great." I said, "But before we go back, is there anyone else here?" And then they brought out Janicia right there, their daughter. And as we began to talk to them, all three of them came back to the church and were baptized in the precious name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you a neat little story. Actually, here's Kenroy. He's Dawn's nephew. And the neat thing is how God works out. You know, sometimes we pray for our family, but we don't always know how God's working. Well, we met Dawn on Saturday. We had someone that talked to Kenroy on like a Thursday, Friday, and they both showed up the same Sunday at church, and neither one of them knew that they were coming to that church that day. So it's neat how God works behind the scenes to orchestrate everything. If you hit play for me, please. Amen. You're going to see a few people. Yeah, you got Eric, and the next picture you got Eric right here, and Kervin and CJ. Eric's dad actually used to run the Chinese restaurant right next to our old church, and they went away to Canada and were gone for a number of years. We lost track of them. But they recently came back to Antigua, and in Eric's first service back, he received the Holy Ghost, and in 2 weeks later, we baptized him in Jesus' name. Amen. There's the inside of our sanctuary there, some of our people for worship. Amen. You see my father right up there. There's my wife leading worship, and some of our young people up there leading worship as well. Amen. So you kind of get to see how we have church down there as well in Antigua. Amen. There's the Burnett family getting baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And that was just a few seconds before Kadim received the Holy Ghost. Kervin, actually, he got baptized Saturday morning before we even started outreach. We had talked to him on Thursday, Friday, and told him most times our weekends are very busy with church things, so we generally try and do Bible studies on Tuesday or Wednesday. And we said, "You know, we can teach you some Bible studies, you know, come next week." He said, "I can't wait till next week." He said, "I need it now." I said, "Well, the only time we have available is Saturday morning before outreach." And he showed up, and we taught him a Bible study at 8:30 a.m. Saturday morning. And by 9:30, we baptized him in Jesus' name. There's Delvin being baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Chanel, a young 14-year-old girl, being baptized in Jesus' name. The next picture is Tyra, her younger sister. And she wasn't even baptized on a church day. She just said, "Mommy, I need to get baptized." So she came on an off day. Amen. We baptized her in Jesus' name. There's Howard getting baptized. Howard's brother was actually a faithful part of our church. He was one of those five young men. He was one of our core. Amen. Not in that picture, but he was one of that core group of young men. He recently passed away back in November. He was at the hospital with some asthma issues, and they accidentally overdosed him in Antigua. That's why we believe in prayer, because you're better off to always pray, but in Antigua, you don't want to take your chances at the hospital. But see, here's the thing, how God can use any situation. Although he passed away, God used that opportunity to bring Howard into the church. He's now baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and living a holy life for God, preaching this gospel all over the world. And here's the thing. Last year, we were believing God for at least 100 people to get baptized and filled. And we started our New Year's Eve service with 97 people baptized or filled. And, you know, that thought kicks in. That's good enough. Just call it right there. We said, no, God, we're not going to call it. Pause it for me, if you will. We said, God, we're not going to call it. And by 4 minutes from midnight, Howard was our 101st person to either be baptized or filled. So God always comes through. Amen. But we have to be faithful, even if it comes 4 minutes from midnight. You can hit play now. This is our youth camp. There's Eric being baptized. He got baptized on a Sunday night before we started youth camp. And youth camp runs Monday night through Saturday morning. And then we have services Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And this was a unique year. This was our first year that all the young people had already been baptized and filled before they showed up at youth camp. But we were believing God that it was going to be our best year ever at youth camp. Our theme this year was on committed. Take it from Psalms 27, verse 4. And I encourage you, when you go home, we all need to read in Psalms 27. It's a very powerful psalm of David that he wrote there. But remember I told you about our state college? And when it comes to the first baptism, just pause it for me, if you will. Remember I told you about our state college and Brother Dwayne, he's our college teacher. Yeah, just pause it right there. Thank you. He's one of our college teachers out there, professors at the state college. And we had always been witnessing to Luann, a young lady that attended church there. And we'd always try and get her to come, but she happened to be the youth leader at a Church of God down there. So our service times always conflicted. So she could never show up for church, but that Tuesday night she showed up, and she ended up bringing her mom and her aunt that you're going to see right here in the next few seconds. And as we began to talk to them after service, her mom, Renee, and then her aunt also all both received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, and then you can hit play. We baptized all three of them after the service. There's Renee being baptized in Jesus' name, and Leslie, it's Renee's sister, Luann's aunt, being baptized in Jesus' name. And there's Luann being baptized in Jesus' name. But she was, and pause it on the next picture. She wasn't satisfied that her mom and aunt got the Holy Ghost. She said, I can't leave without the Holy Ghost. And she said, God, I'm not leaving here without that. Amen. So when she came up out of the waters of baptism, she was speaking in other tongues. And the Holy Ghost hit her in such a way. Amen. That when we tried to ask her questions, you know, we always ask our people when they get out of baptism, you know, how do you feel? And we go through a few things with them so they know it's real. Amen. And as we began to talk to her, every time she tried to answer us in English, all that would come out was tongues. Amen. She was just a little drunk and overdosed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we all need a good overdose on the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that was on Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday night, Leona showed up. She happens to be another church leader there with them at their church. And they said, hey, you need to go check it out. So she came that night. We baptized her in Jesus' name, prayed her through to the Holy Ghost on Wednesday night. If you hit play for me again. On Thursday night, Onika showed up, and she had been there back at Alex's funeral in November, but hadn't been back to church since. She had received the Holy Ghost at the funeral, but she hadn't been back, like I said, since. But she came that pause it for me, if you will. She came that Thursday night. We baptized her in Jesus' name, and she was refilled with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is Hyacinth. Hyacinth happens to be the aunt of Geraldo and Eugene Brown. Amen. But her and her husband work with a different church on the island, so a lot of times they don't end up coming to our church too often. But she was there Tuesday night. She saw the other people baptized and filled, but herself, she had never been baptized in Jesus' name. And my wife was talking to her, saying, Hyacinth, you need to do something. You need to get baptized. And she just kept saying, well, I will one day. I'll tell you what, if you're not baptized in Jesus' name or you don't have the Holy Ghost, don't procrastinate. Don't wait. Amen. It's the best thing you've ever experienced. Amen. So Hyacinth, finally, she was there after seeing Onika baptized. We all kind of gathered around her and said, Hyacinth, you can't leave until you're baptized. You need it tonight. Amen. So finally, she looked up towards the ceiling and said, Jesus, I give up. Well, we started rejoicing right there. Got her in a robe real quick. Got her in the baptismal tank. And the one that didn't want to get in, Pastor, is the one we couldn't get out. Amen. She just had such a good time in the tank, speaking in tongues and praising God. She just didn't want to get out of the tank. Amen. If you hit play for me. So that was on Thursday night. Then on Friday night, the last night of our youth camp, Luann brought her whole youth group. Amen. And Dwayne, this young man over here, he received the Holy Ghost. Amen. But here's the thing. Pause it for me, if you will. So often, especially in North America, we become real timid with this gospel. I got real quiet all of a sudden. I know I hit a nerve. We get real timid and really quiet with this. That's not how the apostles were. That's not how Jesus called us to be. The Bible says you got to compel them to come. Doesn't mean we're to be rude, doesn't mean we're to be mean, but we're to be firm, and we are going to have to go to the streets and compel them to come. Sometimes you got to compel them right in the church house. So what happened that night is they were all sitting towards the back, and we gave the altar call, and we didn't even ask them to come to the altar. We said, just if you want to see God do something in your life, just lift your hands and the Holy Ghost will begin to hit you. Well, they just looked at us. So then we said, well, then come to the altar if you want to see God do something. Well, guess what? They still just looked at us. So pastor gave us a nod. We charged in there, whatever we had to do, stand on the pews to get to them, but we did. Amen. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost. Hit play for me, if you will. The next picture you're going to see. One of the young ladies that received the Holy Ghost, Dariana, she was also baptized in the name of Jesus. But what would have happened, church, if we sat back? Amen. We need to become zealous over this word. Amen. There's their youth group and ours. Last year, 45 were baptized and 56 filled with the Holy Ghost. This year, 19 have already been filled with the Holy Ghost and 30 have been baptized as of last Sunday. And it's through your prayers and support that make that possible. Amen. We wouldn't be able to be there without you. And I appreciate everything you do. Those prayers are so vital. Amen. But tonight, I kind of rushed through the presentation for this reason. Thank you. Is God has sent us to North America on a mission. Amen. God has given us a burden, one, to transmit what we do in Antigua for outreach. Because see, in North America, the truth is outreach is a failing program. Because we've made it a program. Outreach in North America does not work. And it's time someone with enough guts and courage stands up and says that. We've tried to pacify it, and we've preached through it, and I grew up hearing sermons about outreach, and that's good, and I believe in it. I mean, our proof in Antigua that we've taken 8 people in 3 and 3/4 years and taught over 20,000 Bible studies proves the fact that we believe in going to the streets and teaching Bible studies. But see, here's the thing. In Antigua, our people work an average of 55 to 75 hours a week. They don't get overtime, they don't get sick benefits, and for that much time, they're going to get about $134. So thank God, even if it's minimum wage, it's way better than what we're getting down in Antigua. Amen. But here's what I tell people. Our core people have been consistently doing this for 3.5-4 years now. They'll work 55 to 75 hours a week. They still spend time with their family. They still make Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Bible study, and Friday night youth group if they're in that age bracket. And then they still show up Saturday for outreach and still find time to teach Bible studies. You can do it if you have a mind for it. See, we can make a lot of excuses, I'm too busy. But I'll tell you what, if we can do it in Antigua, you can do it in North America. But see, it takes someone that says, God, just like Isaiah said in our Bibles, amen, in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, God, here am I, send me, I'll go. Amen. God can't say, we can pray all day long and fast. I believe in prayer and fasting. But until someone goes, God isn't going to save anyone in your city. We can talk till we just talked it out. We can talk for years. And that's really what we've been doing. Bishop Cunningham says it this way. He says, it's time for the apostolic movement to either put up or shut up. Because we've been talking about revival for years, but it's time we actually be apostolic again. Amen. I got a few amens here in the front, but the rest of y'all falling asleep on me. Amen. See, here's why. You know why we're not excited about outreach? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to agree with me. I know it's the truth. Amen. We really don't like outreach because, and I'll just say it like this. We travel a lot through different churches. The apostolic movement is very depressed as a whole body. And we're always talking about, why is there so much depression in the church? Don't we have Jesus? Don't we have joy? I know this may be a different message than what you're used to, but it's Bible-based. Why is there so much depression in the church? Doesn't it say the joy of the Holy Ghost? Take your Bibles. Turn with me to Ezekiel. I'll show you why there's so much depression in the church, and it's self-inflicted, Pastor. It's not brought on by God. It's not brought on by Satan. It's self-inflicted. We've brought it on ourselves because we err not knowing the Scripture. The Bible says, for lack of vision, my people perish. Now, our young people every week are committed. They pray for a different country every single week. We pray and fast for every church that me and my wife have the privilege to speak at and to preach. But our young people are believing for a billion soul revival before Jesus comes. Now, I got one person that believed me. Now, we've believed this for 4 years. But God's never released us to share it in North America because, frankly, in North America, we don't believe in outreach. But God's calling us to believe in outreach again. Amen. There used to be a day where we were committed to outreach, but here's what happened. It's not that we don't want to talk to people. That's not the problem. It has nothing to do with we don't know the Scripture. That's really not the problem. It's not that we don't love God. That's not the problem. The problem is we have the wrong focus about outreach. That's why we don't outreach. We've made outreach something it was never intended to be. See, we've made outreach about people getting baptized and filled. We've made it all about the response. We've made it all about the response. When people come back and they're all excited and you bring them to pastor and it's like, I want to do that again. And you keep outreaching. Then you get a dry week and you don't get nobody and you're like, this doesn't work anymore. No one in my city wants God. No one in my school really wants Jesus. It's quiet. I know y'all said that somewhere. My family doesn't want God. And see, we done prophesy that before we even opened our mouth to talk about God. Because our focus is wrong. And see, if we can get the right focus, see, outreach has nothing to do with getting people baptized and filled. Now, that may sound strange because that's why we are here. That's the plan of salvation. But I want to show you something. Because here's how you're going to be effective at outreach. Here's how you're going to reach a billion souls and make it really easy. Here's how we don't get weary and well-doing in Antigua. It has nothing to do with the response. Because I can't save them. I can't make them respond. I can compel them. I can show them the Scripture. I can be a diligent steward. Ezekiel chapter 3 and starting in verse 17. God was speaking to Ezekiel, and I don't want anyone here to say, well, that's Old Testament, that's not relevant. It's just as relevant as Acts is in the New Testament. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, I want you to make it personal. You can add your name or you can say, Rehoboth, I have made thee a watchman unto Milwaukee. I need you to hear the words at my mouth and give them warning for me. Because, see, God can't reach your city without you. You won't find one person in the Bible. Oh, sure, I know Cornelius had angels appear to him, but you look, did the angels baptize him? Did the angels pray him through? It took Peter responding to the call. And it takes Rehoboth responding to the call to see Milwaukee saved. Because, see, I believe it's possible. Even if no one else does, I believe it's possible to save your whole city. Because we're proving it in Antigua. We are saving our entire nation. You know, we believe you can't have an apostolic nation. Just watch us. But I would rather you join us. Because it's no fun watching the game. It's more fun getting in the game. Amen. And that's why we need your help. Our young people average 500 Bible studies a year. That's not our discipleship. That's just what we do on the streets talking to people. And we're going to every church. Will you match us? And I'm asking that question. You don't have to raise your hand. Pray about it. Think about it. Because here's the thing. Here's how easy it is to reach a billion souls. If just 1,000 people caught this burden, that's 500,000 people in a year. Now the UPC alone, as just one of many apostolic movements, claims we have roughly between 3 and 4 million members worldwide in North America and around the world. If just 2/3 of those members respond, Pastor, just 2 million of those members, you know, we can reach a billion souls not in 20 years, not in 10 years, but in 1 year. See, that problem that just saw so massive now becomes so doable. It's not a 15-year commitment plan. It's a 1 year, talk to everyone you know. And it's not a matter of whether or not they respond, because see, that's not what he asked me to do. He just asked me to get it out there. And see, what's happened is, amen, we need to clap about that. See, what's happened is we've believed the lie of the enemy that if they don't respond, they don't want it. And we've allowed him to stop us from doing outreach because we bought his lie. Because we've bought his lie. Now read with me and I'll show you. I'll prove it because this is in the scripture. Amen. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. I'm a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why there can be so many Christians that are ashamed, because they don't know the word of truth. But when you study the Bible, and it's not just something that you keep on a shelf, but it's something that you live by and you hunger for and you long for, it will forever change your life. So Ezekiel 3:18, when I say, this is God speaking, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood, somebody say his blood, will I require at thine hand. Not the hands of the world, not the hands of the sinners, at the hand of the church. I know it's kind of against protocol to start off with such a heavy scripture. Amen. But God's trying to get something through to us. Verse 19. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Notice something. It didn't say if he gets baptized and filled. It just said if you speak and warn him. If you open your mouth and tell him what God's word says. Give him that warning. See, in North America, where everyone has to be politically correct, we've stopped warning everyone because we don't want to offend anyone. And we've already allowed Satan to win our whole nation. And then we complain about it and go, well, look what the Supreme Court's doing. Look what... You know, I tell people this, and this may be very offensive. It's not my intention to offend tonight, but it's time we stop believing the lie. You know, we want to complain about the Supreme Court, and we want to complain about what the president's doing, and we want to complain. You know, I tell people this, you have no right to complain until you at least went out and taught a few Bible studies. Because unless you're trying to make a difference, you have no right complaining about the state we're in. Because it's because people that wouldn't do nothing, that's why we're here. It's not the Supreme Justice's job. It's the parents' job that have made God irrelevant in North America. Because we have failed to stand. We've allowed them to bind our mouth. And we've bought the lie. Verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You know what has happened? You just removed that condemnation. And see, why we're so condemned is God has just simply asked us, freely receive, freely give. He said, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Nobody here deserves salvation. But he freely gave it to us. He bestowed it upon us. And we dance and we come into church and we shout and we clap and we amen the preaching. But then we go out and we don't say one word about it to anyone we come in contact with. And then we wonder why we're feeling condemned. Because see, it's the soul, that spirit that longeth within thee. It longeth to reach your city. But see, we've bound ourselves because we won't open our mouth. See, how many of us don't believe that scripture? Don't raise your hand, but how many of us in North America really don't believe that scripture anymore? That the fields are white and ready for harvest, but the laborers are field. Because we've all bought the lie that, well, I talked to 5 people and no one came back. So that's just, God doesn't really know North America. That's irrelevant now because I tried to 5 people and no one responded. And that's why when pastor tries to get up or someone tries to get up and preach and say, God has a harvest. In the back of our mind, we go, amen. But in the back of our mind, we're going, oh, I tried that already. And we won't even start before we even hear it. So I'm asking you, will you just, see, God's not asking you to baptize them, although we must if we want them to be saved. We can't make our outreach contingent. We can't make our witness be contingent on what they do with the gospel. If they respond or not, so what? That's not my fault. I'm not responsible for them going to heaven. But I am responsible for telling them what it takes to get to heaven. And I will be required by God to tell them. But it goes farther. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous... Now he's speaking to the church. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block. God doesn't take us walking away from this lightly. I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood. Somebody say his blood.
His blood
will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Not because he is baptized, not because he has the Holy Ghost, but because someone took the time to speak to him. We all need a pastor. By the foolishness of preaching are we saved. Amen. We need our pastor in our life to speak to us. No one can save themselves. Because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. You know, the only way to deliver our soul is to use this mouth that God gave us. Not to complain and condemn and backbite, but to preach the gospel. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 17, 1 Corinthians 1 and 17. Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. I want you to understand something about Corinth. Paul wrote basically more to the Corinthian church than any other one of his epistles. He had a very close connection with the Corinthian church. But Paul went there when he was so discouraged and he was beat up. And see, because here's what happened. Right before Paul went to Corinth, he was in another city preaching. And the brother in the church said, Paul, you just need to move on. Because you're a little bit too zealous of good works. I didn't know you could be too zealous of good works, Pastor. But see, here's what happened. When someone shows up with zeal for your city, when someone shows up with a burden, it makes your program look really bad. And that's what Paul was doing. He was just going out preaching everywhere. And their nice little church plan didn't look so good anymore. They began to see the holes and the faults and the things that didn't line up. And they said, Paul, you need to leave. Not because they didn't like what he was doing. It's because they didn't like the spotlight he was shining on what they were doing. So he left and he went to Corinth, the most vile city in the Roman Empire. And he went there alone. Which was so on, that in itself can let you know that Paul was discouraged, because he never went anywhere alone. He always had Barnabas or John Mark or Timothy or Titus or Luke, or somebody always went with Paul. Because that's how Jesus commanded us to go out, two by two. And Paul followed that pattern everywhere except in Corinth. And scholars estimate that when Paul left Corinth 18 months later, somebody say 18 months. Notice he went there as the only born-again believer. He left a year and a half later, and they estimate between 40,000 and 120,000 believers were at the Corinthian church when Paul left a year and a half later. And all it was is because someone opened their mouth. What could God do in Milwaukee if Rehoboth would just go out and begin to open their mouth? What if we just throw out that plan about what the person has to look like, what the person has to say, just throw out the plan, throw out the closet. Well, what if they don't get baptized? Who cares? What if they do? My problem is to tell them, not the response. Because see, when you begin to tell person after person, you're automatically going to get response. But see, we've stopped from telling because we wait for the response. Let me ask this question. What comes first? The cry or the conception? And I'm referring to a baby. You sure? I think you got it wrong. Now, you sure? You really sure? The cry or which comes first? Cry or conception? I don't know if I'm in the right church. You sure? You sure? Final. Final answer. You're going to lock it in. Last thing. Last chance. Then let me ask you, how can new birth come before a witness? And we've made outreach about the new birth and not the witness. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." I know that sounds very unapostolic. But see, here's how it becomes apostolic. He didn't worry whether or not they were baptized, Pastor, although he taught it was essential. We know Paul said, without it, we can't be saved. But here's what he did say. But what did Christ send Paul to do? But to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. See, fancy programs can work, but sometimes we make God irrelevant because we make it more about what we do than about the gospel. And see, what God has sent us to North America to do is, because we don't have a lot of time left, truthfully, we don't. We can argue and debate it. We can say they've been preaching that for years and, you know, they just use that to get people into church. Well, we're closer than ever. And I'm not going to take the time tonight for sake of time, but I can prove to you that from the Bible, we are closer than ever. And Jesus is very close to coming again. But here's the thing. Where do you want to end up if you end up in heaven? Do you end way on the backside of heaven? Or you just want to be right there in front? Just glory lane, right there on the front part of heaven. I want to be as close to the palace as I can be. But it's going to require me opening my mouth. And you say, well, how on earth? Anyone know how many people are in Milwaukee? I didn't look it up before we came here. A lot of people. 600,000 plus. You can say, how on earth could God expect me to require all those people? That's just way too many people. Well, there's a scripture that says he'll never give you more than you can bear. So I already know beyond a shadow of a doubt he's placed enough apostolics in this city that you can reach your whole city beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you won't even get stressed out about it if we did it the right way. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 says it this way. We can even start in verse 4 because see, what happens when people start to get saved, someone wants a title. And titles aren't going to save anyone. Verse 4 says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" You know what Paul was saying? When you're looking for your title, oh, I studied under Bishop so-and-so, and all just carnal. Because you've made it about what you've done and not what he's done. So here's how he answers that question in verse 5. "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believe?" You know what he's saying? I'm nobody. I'm just the person that connected you with somebody. I'm just the minister by whom ye believe. "Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." See, in North America, we like our positions. But we're not going to reach North America with a position. The only way we're going to reach our world and change this nation is with a burden again. And the willingness to stand up and preach the gospel, the unadulterated gospel, not with fear, not with favor, not with wrath or doubting. There just needs to be that good old-fashioned apostolic boldness. Regardless of whether or not who responds, I'm just going to tell every person, whether they be young, whether they be old, whether they be fat, whether they be skinny, whether they be male or whether they be female, I'm just going to preach the gospel again. Because see, that's what brings revival. Because see, revival is not something that happens. It's something that we live in. It's a state of mind. It's a belief in something that is out of this world. And see, God can revive any city. God can revive every any nation. Because we know in 2 Chronicles chapter, I think it's roughly 7:14, 7:16, somewhere in there. It says, "Which if my people," those are the born again people, "if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves," there we go, we got it right there. "They shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Could it just be, now there's many things that can be pulled out of that scripture, but could it mean that he's referring to our bloody hands because we didn't witness to our city? If we would turn from our wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. It was no doubt in God's mind if he could heal the land or not. The only doubt was, if my people. See, God doesn't doubt his power. He just wonders if his people will respond to his power. And I'm wondering, Rehoboth, will we respond to the power that God has placed within you? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But we need to become passionate again. Because here's what happens in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. You know, right there it just takes it all. We're working together. We're one. But notice this. Every man, say that means me. Come on, somebody say that means me. Every man shall receive his own reward, say my reward, according to his own labor. Say my own labor. So my question is, we can complain that there's never enough money to pay the bills, but my question is, are we putting in enough to get that much out from God? Because he's the best boss ever. He's better than a boss. He said he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He always pays his bills. And anyone that will give to him, he will reward them accordingly. But you know what I tell people? Zero plus God still equals zero. Or sorry, zero times God. And you say, I love God. I come to church, but what are you doing with the rest of your time? Church is a mandatory thing if you want to be saved. Has nothing to do with reaching your city. So what am I doing to make a difference? What am I giving God to bless? I know a lot of times we use it about money, but what about our time? How are we investing our time? Where is our time being spent? You know, they say women can speak 2,000 words. I believe that. A day. Men only speak about 700. I believe that too. But are we using them for ourselves, or are we using them for the kingdom? Because Paul said, I count it all but dung that I just might, what? That I might know him. That I might gain the excellency, that knowledge. See, when we really learn and develop that relationship and begin to know him, that joy automatically should be there. Because just to sit at his feet and to feel that presence. But see, here's what happens. This can be applied in a lot of ways, whether it be kids or a spouse or someone you like. You ever ask someone to do something and then they did it and you just felt so thankful for them? Or they noticed you weren't feeling good or your arms were full and they just got the door for you or something and it just, you felt good? Now, God says if we being evil can give good gifts unto our children, how much more should our Heavenly Father give unto us? I wonder what would happen, Pastor, if we just, wherever we went, just became zealous for God. If it wouldn't just touch the heart of God to heal our land, to change our environment, to change our situation, because he knows. But it takes someone to be a witness. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation. Paul said he laid that foundation. We're going to see what it is. And another built thereon, but let every man take ye how he buildeth thereon. Verse 11, for another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only thing we can preach and not be weary. And see, that's why I want you to understand, there's nothing wrong with baptism and infilling. We need to preach that high and low, but here's the thing. It's not about what you preach, it's about what you focus on. Because you know that old saying, insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting a different result? Well, we can try every program we want, but until our focus gets off the response of the people and it gets on to, I just want to share the gospel because I love him. I just want to share the gospel because I know him. I'm just so excited about what he's done. I just got to let it out. I wish y'all would just let him out. It's amazing what God can do when you let him out. You know, we've been to our drug lords. We've been to our president, our vice president, our first lady. We've talked to them all about Jesus. You know, I don't treat our president any different than I do treat the beggar on the street corner. You know why? Because my focus is I want them all to be saved. So their position and title mean nothing to me. I just want them in the kingdom. So I'm asking you tonight, what's your burden to see Milwaukee saved? Because it's the Father's good pleasure to see Milwaukee saved. But he needs someone that will say, hey, I'm going to let him out. I'm going to talk about him high, and I'm going to talk about him low, and I'm going to talk about him wherever I'm at. No matter if I'm up or I'm down, it's whether it's a good day or a bad day. Regardless of whether or not they respond, regardless of whether or not they change, I'm just going to talk about him because I love him, and my city needs to know. My family needs to know. My coworkers need to know it. And how will they know except? How will they know without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? Ladies, you ever want God to say you're beautiful? You gotta get an honest woman in the house. Y'all want that special someone to say, oh, y'all just so beautiful tonight. Oh, look how you, So how would you like if Jesus just said, wow. Just picture him with, come on, have a little imagination, would you? Just picture Jesus on the edge of the throne. Hey, Gabriel, wow. You see them walking out of church tonight? Woo! Oh, don't tell me he wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But you know what happens? The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet. So God just starts at the feet. And he works his way up. Maybe that's where the men got it from. I don't know, Pastor. But Jesus starts at the feet. He works his way up. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of what of them that come preaching, that come bearing, that come bringing that good news. Didn't say the feet of those that baptized their whole city. And we need that. I don't want us to think that's not important. But see, we've stopped telling people because we've made our telling them contingent on whether or not they respond. And that's out of your control. That's between them and Jesus. But I'll tell you what, if you want Jesus just to show up and say, wow, whether you're man or woman, wow, gentlemen, you're handsome. Wow, ladies, you're beautiful. Just start telling people about who he is. And he just can't stop talking about you enough. He says, whew. Anywhere I can get involved, I want to get involved. You know why? Because they made my business their business. You know, there's another scripture. Stand with me in closing tonight. Here's the thing. I tried to cut my notes short so you won't cut his time short. I want you to spend some time talking to Jesus tonight. More than just from the standpoint of, God, I need something, but wow. Any of you gentlemen, don't raise your hand, don't smile because the ladies are looking. But you ever get that number and you just bragged all your friends, I got her number. Or ladies, he gave me his number. Oh, somebody's Chuck. I hear y'all out there. I have his number. I know his name. It's Jesus. And all I do is call on that name. And the Bible says he's as close as the mention. Oh. See, we take that so for granted. I have King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Forget speed dial. He's right there. He always picks up. He never loses reception. They never cut off his service. We may cut it off sometimes, but amen. But here's the thing. I want to leave this scripture with you, which is, there's a scripture, the reference slips me, but if you search, you'll see it, and it's there, I promise you. I've preached about it before, but the reference off the top of my head slips me. But there's a place where Jesus said that if we'll be ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. We all know that portion of the scripture. But there's another portion of that scripture that I want us to focus on. And it talks about, if I won't be ashamed, if I'll talk about him. It says he'll testify of me to the angels. That's why I know beyond a shadow of a doubt when I start to talk about him, he's there going, hey, Gabriel, hey, Michael, you see what they're doing? I want to get involved. See, God wants to get involved with your life, church. He just doesn't want to be your provider. He wants to be your lover. He wants to be your closest friend. He wants to be the one that you just get up in the morning and say, God, can I just talk to you? Can I just tell someone about you? Oh, come on, ladies. When you go on that real special date, you tell all your friends. When he pops the question, there isn't a girlfriend you don't call. Well, he done popped the question, and he died on Calvary. But you know what? He didn't just propose to me. When he stretched out his arms and said, it is finished. That was his proposal to the whole world. But see, the problem is a lot of the people living next to you probably never heard him propose because no one's ever introduced him. It's real hard to get a proposal without an introduction. And I'm wondering, could we just take that step of faith and begin to introduce our city, because there's someone waiting for a bride that bears his name. He's already paid all the bills. He's just asking, will you tell him? Time's short and he's desperate for a bride. But he's not going to compromise, because his word is forever settled in heaven. He's not going to change, but he's asking, will you tell as many as you can? Don't worry about if they respond. I didn't ask you to do the response. Just connect them to me, and I'll do the rest. But you got to connect them. Somebody, we need someone all over this house to commit to it. God, I'll connect my city. I'll connect my family. I can't save them, but Jesus, you can. Because here's what happened. I wonder if we could just begin to find a place to pray, either at this altar or somewhere. And before we pray, I just want to share this. Remember I said that God would testify of us to the angels? There's a story about the seven sons of Sceva. Said they were exorcists, means they cast out devils. They obviously had some success, Pastor, because they said they were exorcists. It wasn't their first time. But they showed up the one boy possessed of a devil, and that devil didn't want to leave. And here's how they did it. They said, we adjourn thee in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out. They didn't even preach Jesus. But the name had so much power that devils would come out. But they met a devil that didn't want to come out. And notice this statement. Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are you? Could it have been, because we know demons are fallen angels, could it have been because Paul, it said he was daily in the synagogue, he was daily talking to people about Jesus. Could it have been that Paul, that Jesus from his throne room in heaven said, hey, whether they be fallen angels or not, when Paul walks in the room, you better shut up and stand at attention. And whatever he speaks to do, he is my chosen servant. He is my son. He bears my name. And you better listen. Whether it be angelic or demon. Could it just be that those boys never did really testify of him? So that devil could say, hey, I know Jesus. I know Paul. But who are you? See, I don't live in Milwaukee. I live in Antigua. And I don't want there to be any devil in our nation that hasn't heard my name. Not because I'm anything, but because I haven't failed to share his name. Come on, the Holy Ghost is moving all through this house. I wonder if we could just lift up our hands, come to this altar and begin to talk to him. Say, God, just like Peter, before he had the Holy Ghost, he denied you. But Jesus, once he was full of the Holy Ghost, he stood up with boldness on the day of Pentecost and preached, thus saith the Lord. God, I want that kind of boldness in my life. Come on, that's it. Can we just begin to talk to our friend tonight? He'll respond because it's his heartbeat to seek and to save that which was lost. And see, when I get into the heartbeat of God, when I make his priority my priority, he makes my life his priority. That's it. Can we just begin to thank him for the opportunity that we're in this kingdom? And can we begin to ask him, Jesus, please place those names on my heart. Please let me stand with boldness and be counted. God, let me not cower. Let me not deny you, for you are so worthy. Jesus, I want to preach it high and I want to preach it low. I want to share it in the highways and the byways. I want the governor to know. I want the mayor to know. I want the beggar on the street corner to know. God, I want everyone in the city of Milwaukee to know and the surrounding area that there is a God.